This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. The U.S. and 11 other countries have reached an agreement on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Deal. Trade officials were expected to officially announce the deal today in Atlanta, Georgia. The Wall Street Journal reports that for the U.S., the trade agreement opens agricultural markets in Japan and Canada. Canada and Japan have agreed to increase access to their dairy markets, allowing some American dairy products in. New Zealand also persuaded the U.S. to accept more of its milk products. The deal must be approved by each nation's government. Next, we'll hear from Madison County farmer Steve Plocker. Steve lives near Puron and farms around 750 acres.
We're not a big farmer. We're retired dairy farmers, so that was our big emphasis for many years. So we farm about 750 acres now, and it's still divided between corn, soybeans, wheat, and alfalfa. So we dabble in a little bit of everything.
And as you know, right now we're in the middle of harvest. So what have you been seeing in the fields as far as yields go, and have you had any down corn, or what are things looking like for you?
Well, for us, we've been into corn. We've basically got all of our early corn, or all the corn that we didn't have to replant because of our wonderful spring, and been just totally blown away by the yields, way better than anything I had expected. But visiting with neighbors, it's still like the variable word that everybody keeps coming up with. I mean, you can hear everything all over, but just been a lot of 200-plus bushel an acre corn. And stalk quality, for the most part, in my experience, has been very good, but we do use fungicides and everything. And then visiting with our seed dealer, that they seem to think that in talking with all of their customers that, you know, Enserve and fungicide were the kind of the two big things in corn yield this year. If you use those, you probably came away okay. If you didn't, then it's anything could happen. So
it sounds like you've been having a pretty good year then so far.
Been very happy, very pleased. We're kind of waiting to get into the beans, which at one point this year I didn't know if we'd get any beans planted, but there were towards the end of June we did have a break and we did get everything planted. They look pretty good, but most of them are still green yet. We do have about 75 acres that hopefully get out this week, maybe the way they look. So been hearing real good bean yields around the area, so... But I personally can't attest to any of those yet.
Okay, so about how far along are you with harvest? Could you give us a percentage about how far you think you've got to go?
We're probably about 40% done altogether. So we've got, this year was kind of, our rotation was kind of had a glitch that we didn't have too many corn acres, so we've got quite a few bean acres to go yet. So as long as the weather holds out, we'll still be in good shape here as we go on.
And you had actually mentioned that today you're starting to sow some wheat.
Yeah, we do, since we still raise dairy heifers, we do corn silage and stuff, so we had acres here at home that was available to sow wheat in. So I actually started yesterday, and I'll finish today with the wheat acres that we'll have this year, which will be down considerably from the normal year, because where we would normally follow wheat behind our harvested bean acres, I'm afraid we won't have any of those till here the end of October. So I'll probably go ahead and bypass that wheat this year and try and get back to the rotation next year again.
So about how many acres will you have then with wheat, even though they're down this year?
This year we'll probably only have about 45 acres, which will be about a third of what we would normally have.
Any other thoughts today, Steve, before we wrap this up that you'd like to touch on?
Well, it's just been, for the terrible year that we had to fight every inch of the way, it's just been amazing harvest weather, and Mother Nature has really smiled on us at this point. So hopefully we can take advantage, and everybody can take advantage of that, and we'll end the year on a high note.
Once again, that was Madison County farmer Steve Plocker. We'll be back with more after these messages. As we move along through harvest season, corn rootworm damage for the second consecutive year has been minimized by a combination of factors, including weather and best management practices. This might give some farmers hesitation when making purchasing decisions for next year. Can you reduce or even go without certain traits to cut costs? Monsanto Technology Development Manager Sean Evans urges farmers to stay the course and stick to a sound management plan. As fields dry down before harvest, corn rootworms are seeking a better habitat.
And so what we are seeing is an uptick in the number of beetles that growers are starting to see out in the field. So that just tells us that rootworms still present in those areas. And so it's something for growers to watch for and to plan around as we head into 2016.
Sean says that this year, the weather played a significant role in controlling the corn rootworm population. However, the proactive on-the-ground approach by farmers has also helped to control the pest.
We've seen an increase in the amount of acres that are rotated on these high-pressure acres. Growers are also using more and more pyramided products, so dual mode of action BT products. You know, where growers aren't able to use pyramided products, we see a little bit of an appetite to use other measures with BT traits, including insecticides. And so that's all really helped to prevent greater than desired damage from corn rootworm and also reduce populations as well.
Evan also says it's important that farmers do not assume corn rootworm populations will be low again next year.
Is still out there. I mean, despite the weather, despite a lot of different management tactics that have helped knock the populations back, they are out there. And we would caution growers, unless you have a really good handle on where your populations are and you verified for certain that rootworms are really not present and it isn't a factor in your fields, we would discourage growers from making decisions to not utilize technologies to control rootworm, especially on those acres that we consider high risk, continuous corn production being one of those.
He says the first step to combat corn rootworm should be to adopt the best management practice on acres that are at risk.
You know, the BMPs are the place to start. And in addition to the BMPs, we've got other tools that help growers really focus their scouting efforts. And one of those is a website, insectforecast.com. This is a monitoring website growers can utilize. And then we also have a rootworm manager app. And that really helps take their scouting information, which is very key in making decisions, and allow them to use that information to get recommendations and to evaluate risk of their field. I don't believe we do enough scouting, and we don't need to be in our fields every week collecting samples to get a firm handle on this pest, but there are a few key time points, and one of those being late seasons.
Checking on how management strategies have worked late in the season allows farmers to make a better informed choice for their management strategies next year. Once again, that was Sean Evans, the Technology Development Manager for Monsanto. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.